James Bonding Podcast.
Really?
Yeah, it's right across from my office. Like, it's in the building over. I was over there the other day. It's behind the Ghostbuster cars. But in the window, there's a fucking massive Daniel Craig. And then every Bond Daniel Craig poster is in that office. And I felt like going over and like, hi.
Hi. Could I have a sneak peek behind the kitchen curtains? Well, you are Matt. In fact, I don't think you even knew that I had already pressed recording.
Oh, I did.
And
didn't.
I'm Matt as well.
Welcome to James Bonding.
Stealth casting.
What? Guys, I know. Big news. I think I'm going to bother some people next week at Sony.
Yeah. Listen, this is a banner day for us because we're recording two episodes in a row.
I can't believe it. You can't believe it. America asked, we delivered.
Because we're all still scrambling to get our schedules right, but we promise we will deliver.
Our schedules are right now. It's just our guest had a much more accelerated schedule than us.
And it is worth it. But that's not even this episode. We're doing an in-between episode right now where we're going to talk about a little bit of the developing news. This will be a somewhat shorter episode
that's
to make
Matt
room
thinks.
For...
Bond well, we 25!
Have to. Yeah, we have to make this a shorter episode because we've got a recording in an hour. So, but this is very exciting for some people. It seems like the news is generally good. Let's recap.
I love a recap, Matt.
Okay.
Bond now, 25, as we know, is scheduled to be released in 2019.
That's right.
By Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and Eon Productions.
And Annapurna Pictures. Ooh. Distributing.
This is very exciting.
Now, keep in mind, all of this news generally comes through us, through various sites, but we go to our trusted man in the East.
We filter through Phil.
That's right, we do, because honestly, whenever we don't, we get things wrong.
Guys, this is what we like to call the filter, spelled with a PH.
That's right. We filter Nobile Jr. everything, and we're better for it.
And a lot of times, you know what? Even through that filter, we get stuff wrong, and Phil corrects us.
He's the one that should be doing this podcast,
yeah,
and if he lived out here, he would be.
I don't know why he still lives on the East Coast, but he is our man in the East, so I guess that makes sense.
And congratulations to him. He is now the editor, I believe editor-in-chief. I could have that wrong. I haven't filtered it. Of the new Fangoria magazine.
Hey!
It's very exciting.
Mazel tov, Phil.
And someone wrote, I think someone did a mock-up of his first edition, which, of course, Fangoria is all horror sci-fi magazine,
sure.
But his mock-up was just all James Bond stories on the cover of Fangoria.
I don't hate it.
Well, Phil, we love you, and we're going to reference your article here in Birth, Movies, Death about the upcoming news. So, let's talk Danny Boyle.
What do I know about Danny Boyle? Well,
I like Danny Boyle.
I know he makes movies that people enjoy.
Right.
Have I seen a Danny Boyle movie?
Sure. Trainspotting?
I haven't seen Trainspotting.
Sunshine?
Haven't seen Sunshine.
Slumdog Millionaire?
I've seen Slumdog Millionaire.
Well, guess what? I haven't.
Oh!
127 Hours?
Is that the climbing movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
I have not seen that.
Oh.
The Steve Jobs movie?
Which one?
The good one.
Not Ashton Kutcher.
No. The Michael Fassbender one.
I haven't seen it.
I have.
Oh!
So we are uniquely qualified to handle this. Have you seen the second Trainspotting? I'm assuming
no,
you haven't.
No, I have not.
I have.
Excellent.
Let me see if there's any we're missing here. I'm sure there are.
Danny Boyle, for me, always felt like a just one of these guys that directs movies that... Oh!
Oh, 28 Days Later.
28 Days Later.
Yeah.
Perhaps my favorite zombie thriller.
It's great. And I
The Beach. I've seen The Beach.
I've always had zombie fatigue, and that movie is fantastic. Oh, Shallow Grave. I think...
I've not seen Shallow
One of his
Grave.
First films, if not the first. Really good.
Oh, and he just did Battle of the Sexes. Haven't seen it.
Yeah, okay. His new show, Trust, bringing back Brendan Fraser.
This is exciting.
Yeah, so as the story goes, Purvis and Wade...
Neil.
Had apparently, Neil Purvis and Robert...
Jimmy Wade?
Wade?
Wade? Joe Don Baker.
Sure. in one of his Bond forms, either Whitaker or Wade. They apparently finished a draft of a script.
This is exciting.
But the producers were intent on a big name for the next Bond, for Daniel Craig's potential swan song here. So somehow Danny Boyle got brought up, and I believe they started talking. But Boyle apparently came to them with an idea.
Whoa, what?
Said, I want to do this, and I want my screenwriter from Trainspotting, John Hodge, I believe. Is that right? Yeah.
Judge John Hodgman.
That's right, John Hodge, to do this script. So what's essentially happening is that script is being worked on right now, and if it comes back and they like it, all signs are go.
This is amazing.
If they don't, they will likely go back to the Purvis and Wade script without Danny Boyle and probably go to who was, I think, at the top of the short list, which is the director of Hey, singing a song while I'm procrastinating along, stalling for the name. He did that.
I can't. I literally can't help you.
He did. He did. Hold on. He did that one with Chris Pine and. His name is probably Scandinavian in some way. Yanda Hangadanga.
Did that one with Chris Pine.
And Ben Foster, right?
Not Star Trek.
Ugh, Matt, talk while I look
okay,
this up.
Well, Matt's going to check out everything he knows about the director whose name he doesn't know. This is interesting, though. If they're looking at a director and he's got such a cachet that... or maybe his idea was just... interesting and unique, and I hope his idea was essentially that James Bond gets in a time machine and goes back to before Spectre.
See, I shouldn't have let you talk.
Okay. Oh, no. You don't like the idea of he gets a time machine?
All right. Jan Demange. He did 71. I was thinking of David McKenzie, who did Hell or High Water. That was the one, but I think Jan Demange, who did 71, is... believed to be the front runner. Denis Villeneuve is
also
in that.
I love that because, you know, Sean Connery, of course, says Jan Demange dog in that movie he did.
Oh my god.
So that's a little Bond connection.
You've got a lot to apologize for. See, now Denis Villeneuve was at the top of my list to do a Bond movie, but Danny Boyle's an interesting choice to me. I love Trainspotting. It's one of my I put that up there in one of my favorite 90s movies. I saw the sequel. I liked it a lot. He also directed the opening ceremonies for the 2012 Olympics when they did
Bond and the Queen action.
Daniel Craig
there.
And the Queen skydiving?
Do I remember?
Come on.
Matt, there are a few moments, watershed moments in my life when I'm watching the Olympics, and that's the only one.
That's the only thing that got me to tune in.
Well, I also enjoyed when the Spice Girls arrived on top of black cabs.
I don't remember that. I bet you I just watched the Daniel Craig thing.
I'm a sucker for some Spice Girls.
Yeah, they don't hurt anything.
No, they make everything a little bit better.
That's right.
So this all seems so fast, meaning that they're still slated for this November 2019 release. And the way that they shoot movies now, it feels like they're shooting movies forever.
I know.
Unless you're a Star Wars franchise, in which case you spend 6 to 7 months and then a movie is out.
That's correct. Now, that very thing I was talking to Phil about, this is a concern of his, is if they do go with this Danny Boyle thing, are they going to have to bump the release date? And I was thinking that they probably still wouldn't because they didn't with Spectre when they had issues. And they're just known for cramming things in. But he might be right.
They'll do it fast.
Yeah.
And Furious.
Hang on, my God. Wait a minute.
Vin Diesel's the villain.
Crossover.
What would that be like?
Oh, that's a whole other podcast that we shouldn't do.
That would be amazing. You haven't seen them, right?
I've never seen one.
This is the other thing we have to do. Guys, it's going to be a big 3 months for our Patreon page, which we haven't started yet. But
then we do Fasting and Furious, where we don't eat, but we watch all
we don't
of the
eat
Fast
for
and Furious
12
movies.
There's 8 of them now, so that'd be 16 hours of not eating.
God.
We will get furious.
It would have to be when the new one comes out, which is there one this year?
No.
There's got to be.
No.
There isn't one every year?
They're doing a spinoff one
with
Hobbs, the Rock's character, and what's his face? Jason Statham's character. They get their spinoff.
Oh, thank God.
You know, because it's just adorable. Because The Rock's, you know, so big, right?
Yeah.
And then Jason Statham, he's not so big.
Okay.
And yet they can both fight.
I see.
So it's pretty amazing.
All right. Wow.
That's a formula I can get behind.
Well, that's about all the time I have to talk about.
Thanks so much, everybody. We'll see you next week with Octopussy.
Let's get back to Danny Boyle now. What do you think this idea is? Because the rumor was, the scuttlebutt was, that Purvis and Wade had done a sort of On Her Majesty's Secret Service draft.
Right.
So are you in favor of that happening or getting thrown out? And what do you think this new...
We've been down the let's retread this thing before. It was a little movie called Never Say Never Again, right?
Yeah.
We've seen what that would be like when we redo a story of a James Bond franchise. So, yeah, I feel weird about a remake. As you know, confusingly, in my heart, I feel that all James Bond is always the same person.
No. It's too early in the morning.
So, you know, that little weirdness for me is like, I don't know. I don't know if they should do that.
Aren't you at all curious to see what they would do with an actual On Her Majesty's Secret Service reboot?
Well, look, remake? In my mind, her name's not Tracy. So we got that going for us.
But it doesn't have to be Tracy.
Right. But then my question to you then is like, was Daniel Craig's James Bond married to Tracy?
No, we know this. We've covered this. He deliberately and definitively has not been married to any... He's not been married unless they mention it in Daniel Craig's movies. No. End of discussion.
Matt, this is really obviously a sore spot for me.
Because, I know.
I mean, we've seen...
But this has been asked
and answered. If Roger Moore never visited Tracy's grave, this wouldn't be as big of a problem.
That's fine, but there was never a reset in his movies. There was a reset in Craig's movies.
Okay.
Done. Okay. Done with that.
Okay.
Now, if you guys sense some, tension in my voice, it's because we've talked about this
ad nauseum.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, if you want to hear more of this, check out our Patreon page.
We're starting a sub Patreon, which is just this topic.
Just Matt's timeline theories. So, I mean, look, I am worried about this ramp up to production because here's what I assume. Knowing a little bit about how Eon makes their movies, I feel like they've already been around the globe.
They have.
And picked their locations, right?
And as Phil wisely points out, like Inspector, they had major script reworks, but one of the qualifications was you have to work out something where we crash into the Westminster Bridge because we've already built that.
Mm.
And that's a worrisome sort of thing when you've got to reverse engineer these plots to fit set pieces.
Yeah.
Because weren't they like... location scouting in Eastern Europe or something already for Bond 25?
I don't know if it was Eastern Europe, but I had remember reading something about them already looking at locations. So, you know, is it that hard to really cram a location into a script? No, I do it every week. So it's not like be all end all. It's like, could we set this there? Yes. Set piece, crash into a bridge, crazy. If they have to do something like that, that's a little more of a... Wait, what?
Yeah.
I don't think they've done that yet, though. I don't think they've started building.
I don't believe so either. Hopefully not. But the one good saving grace of this is maybe Danny Boyle's idea doesn't use Blofeld, which with Christoph Waltz not coming back.
Sign me up.
Or maybe if it does, it uses it in an interesting way or something, because that was something that was going to be a little... tough, like to get back into the old school Blofeld changes every time thing.
There's no number one or number two in this, right? There's no in the boardroom scene. We don't have any number identifications of people, right?
I don't believe so.
I would be interested in a number two in a Spectre.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
and it just kicked Blofeld down the road a bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
So still using Spectre, I'm way on board for. It's going to be interesting, though. I mean, the political climate now is so crazy.
Whatever do you mean?
International politics is crazy right now. Not here. We're fine, everyone.
Also,
Send help.
Here's something else for my theory that Quantum of Solace is going to age like a fine wine.
Mm.
The water crisis with South Africa running out of water.
Come on.
Parts of Mexico are already out of water.
Come on.
Come on.
Water is a commodity, everybody. That's why Nestle bought all that water.
10 years ahead of themselves.
Well, I think any natural resource, if you do a movie about us running out of it, you're going to be okay.
That's true.
Because we're going to run out of it.
It's also kind of boring.
You know, I do wonder, I got to figure, right? If they're, if we're looking at a year and a half, like what, 18, 19 months till the next movie comes out, right?
Yeah.
So if we're looking at it like that, they've already got to have, I'm just talking production side of things. They've already got to have their fucking Heinekens in place, their Smirnoffs in place, their Aston Martin, their whatever their big tie-ins are going to be. I'm sure Omega's back on board. So for that, it's interesting because with these movies, they're not really... James Bond movies, I would say, of the last 20 years or so. So, yeah, I would say last 20 years. 98. Tomorrow Never Dies forward. They feel more like commercials than they used to.
Yeah, speaking of that, I obviously got it wrong last episode that when I was saying we hadn't watched, we had watched The World Is Not Enough. I meant Tomorrow Never Dies, but I think you can forgive me my confusion.
I can't. Personally, I cannot.
We, of course, will be covering The World Is Not Enough.
Because the linen suit that he wears in...
Yeah, well, that is a bright spot in that film.
It's not at all featured in Tomorrow Never Dies. No, but... So I wonder... What was I saying? Oh, yeah, they feel like very commercial. So I wonder how someone like Danny Boyle... Someone who's sort of... seemingly auteur-y, seemingly independent, seemingly like, I would say he's a more, like when I think of Sam Mendes, I think of films that are visually interesting and polished.
Yeah, Danny Boyle's a little more
Danny
gritty.
Boyle, I think of as more, judging by the movies I've seen and the movies you've seen, thusly we've seen his entire catalog, I think of them as more gritty and realistic.
I agree. And he's known for kind of working fast and working on small budgets. He's even said about a Bond film prior to this that he didn't want to do him because he's used to like $20 million films and he likes working with those constraints. But actually, the more I think about it, the more I think I'm up for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if he's got an idea and he's got his screenwriter. His screenwriter is John Hodge. Here are his films. Shallow Grave, which I really liked. Last 10 Minutes is a short, don't know it. Train Spotting. A Life Less Ordinary. Do you remember that movie?
Vaguely.
What is that?
Is that like a romantic comedy?
Yeah, it might be. Or a dramedy.
Is that that?
Oh, it's with Ewan McGregor and...
Renee Zellweger.
No, you're thinking of...
Oh, I'm thinking of...
That like remake of 60s. Sex and the Single Girl or whatever it is. Yeah.
Ewan McGregor and Cameron Diaz?
Yeah, you are Holly Hunter's in it? Let's see. Yeah, Cameron Diaz, that's right.
Oh, I like that film.
Okay,
here we go. I was back from my Blockbuster days.
The Beach, I've never seen that, but now I think I want to watch that.
The Beach is decent. That was his follow-up to Titanic, DiCaprio. Right. That's what he decided to do after he was the biggest star in the world.
Well, probably because he just got off that boat right there in Mexico and went right to the beach and was just dazed. And Danny Boyle said, you want to shoot this in 4 hours and $40,000? Okay. The Final Curtain, The Seeker, Alien Love Triangle. That's a short. The Sweeney.
No, I don't know it.
Trance.
Don't know it.
The Sweeney, Colin Paris.
Uh-huh.
The Program and T2 Trainspotting.
T2 Trainspotting Judgment Day. Love it.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's I guess.
He's Scottish.
He's going to be out of his element, right? Writing something this big.
I don't, maybe, but he's Scottish, so he's got to be steeped in the Bond lore in some way.
Mm-hmm. God, I'd love it if it was all in Scotland.
I know, I wouldn't mind going back.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like, really get in there. Dig around.
I do want to see a James Bond. No, I don't. Scratch that. I was going to say I'd like to see a James Bond movie that really goes nowhere. Meaning location wise, but I was like, no, that's not what I want to see.
Like a bubble episode?
A bottle episode. I mean, yeah. Like the whole thing takes place in MI6.
Or in an interrogation room.
That sounds a little too boring for me.
Yeah.
At least in MI6, you could like have some fun interactions, run into Robinson. Maybe he's still there.
That's right. Yeah. Tanner Robinson. The thing that I find now that this is to the point where, like, I want news on this as much as I do the Mueller investigation. Because you got to figure this news is going to come pretty quick. They're either going to do this or not, probably within the next few weeks to a month or two.
Ultimately, what? It's Barbara's decision, right?
Yeah, I would. Because
isn't Michael like sort of like?
I don't know. I don't know that, but I'm sure Daniel Craig has some say in it too, and he's probably in on this. But we still have never solved the mystery of how much Purvis and Wade are responsible for the good or the bad. So I'm dying to know what their version is.
I'm trying to think of how to get a hold of Drafts.
You're in there in the Sony office.
I know.
Put on some night vision goggles and dress in a black turtleneck and go in there and get it.
I bet they are.
Like North Korea, you hacked Sony.
Right.
North released Korea did Spectre.
Yep.
I'm going to pull a Donald Trump and ask for North Korea to hack Sony again.
Please
so
don't.
Get, okay.
Life on the lot was not fun at that point in time. I'm told credit cards didn't work. We had no internet. When the writer's assistants had to send things, they had to go to the Starbucks that's down the street to get on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So, not a fun time.
What is this idea? I'm dying to know.
What do you want it to be?
I would love the idea of, we talked about this a bit on the 10% of the last episode where we actually talked about From Russia with Love. By the way, I loved having Kevin as a guest. We got to have him back.
Oh, he's great. He's one of my favorite podcasting people.
He's great.
But hey, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, that Gilmore Guys podcast
was
a delight to do.
I would love something that just gets back to basics like that. I mean, we're a broken record.
We say it all the time, but I felt like we got him. I felt like we got that Inspector. Like we sort of got
the third act tried to put it all back
to want.
Yeah.
Like what we thought we want, I think. And I think because it was parceled out to us, that was our initial joy in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't rewatched it since. I haven't seen it again since we went to the iPick.
Spectre?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
How do you feel about that? Ask me how many times I've seen Octopussy since then.
How many times?
Probably 7.
I know. That was not a problem for me to watch this movie.
We'll get into that episode.
I had to get up to finish it this morning.
That is another one that ends a lot. It ends a bunch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
it definitely does.
Oh, we're good here.
We'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that. What would you like to see it be? Like, okay, let's say he does go on a mission.
Yeah.
What kind of mission and where? More importantly, where do you want
to go? Well, this is sort of what I was talking about with the state of politics at this point. It just seems to be like everything's done with a keyboard nowadays.
I know. I don't want it to reflect any current political crisis. I know they kind of do that vaguely a lot, but I like my Bonds a little more timeless.
Sure. It's so hard to.
Let's go through it beat by beat. Where do you want it to be set? You get two major locations. Where do you want them?
Personally?
Yeah.
I would like to see Daniel Craig's James Bond in Las Vegas.
Oh, boy.
I would love to see.
Current day Las Vegas?
Yes.
Why don't you just send him to Disneyland?
Matt.
Oh, your face lit up.
Matt. I don't know what you're doing, but you got up on the Matt side of the bed today. This sounds fantastic. Well, I'm going to save Eon Productions literally $100 million right now. You ready?
Yeah.
The whole movie shoots in Epcot.
Because it goes around the world.
World Showcase.
Yeah.
You want to do a scene in Macau? We don't have Macau. You want to do a scene in Morocco. Here's the you'd start this in London. Brilliant. You'd start this London, right?
Yeah.
And you head back. Oh my God, we're in France. This is amazing. James Bond's in Paris.
But
again.
He's meeting M at like their London brew house or like pub
of
at Epcot. Okay, because there's no like MI6 there. There should be a little MI6.
Well, there is a room that is no longer used that used to be used for Winnie the Pooh meet and greets. It's Christopher Robin's bedroom. I think that'd be a fun M's office.
Okay, or Q's workshop.
I mean, here's what you could do. You could hit Canada, London. You could hit Canada, England, France, Italy, Japan, America, China, Morocco.
Okay. But let's talk.
Mexico.
Let's talk seriously, Matt. I can't entertain
You can't
this
entertain this
long.
Idea that it would be amazing?
It's brilliant.
Oh, I'm not saying we... Matt, I'm not... You're misunderstanding me.
Yeah.
The movie doesn't take place at Epcot. We just use the sets.
So a bunch of restaurants? every
A bunch of restaurants, a small-scale Eiffel Tower.
You mentioned Canada. Bond has never gone to Canada.
Montreal? Oh, yeah. Man, Montreal would be great.
What about some like French-Canadian villain?
I'm gonna do the podcast turned away from you now.
You are. You're not even looking at me.
A French-Canadian villain sounds great. An apologetic villain?
Like, Bond's villains are always very polite and hospitable to him.
Yes.
This would be, like,
Canadian
overkill.
Canadian next level.
Maybe that's his weapon, is overkill of politeness.
He's so nice.
He's not been to Australia, South America, or Canada are the major places he's never been in the films.
I mean, I could see some fucking, like, a great chase through Sydney Harbor.
Yeah, that bridge.
Yeah. Oh, man, I hope they don't build that bridge.
Sliding on the top of the opera house there.
Beautiful. I love it.
I'd like Canada because I know we got Snow Inspector, but they didn't really use it for anything. I want to see Bond ski
or
something.
You want skiing.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
And you think the best place for him to do so would be in Canada?
No, I think it would be the Alps, but that's where they were last time, right? Where they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're going to go to Canada, why not? Yeah.
I'd like to see him in Egypt again.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting, I think.
Yeah.
New
York would be interesting again.
Modern day Manhattan. That is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What would that look like? That's hard to imagine.
It is?
But, I mean, man, if they shut down those streets and you got a car chase going on in Manhattan.
They'd do it for Bond.
It'd be fucking awesome.
Yeah. It would be good.
Wow. I don't know, though. I mean, I just feel like he... What do you think Daniel Craig wants out of this? What do you think he wants for his James Bond? Do you think he's like asking them to kill him?
No, I don't think he is anything that concrete. I think he wants another Skyfall, probably, because that seemed to be the movie that he was most satisfied with.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love another Casino Royale, especially like thematically bookending it in that sense. That's one reason why Honor, Majesty, Secret Service, if done right, would be like a really good swan song, but not ending with Tracy's death. Maybe that comes kind of at the beginning, like we talked about,
right?
And then the rest is a revenge mission and maybe sanctioned by M. Like, it really is a mission to get Blofeld, and that ends his five movie series.
You might be onto something with that
trilogy,
because Police Academy until 6 came out.
I'm not trying to think of an example. What's the name for it?
It would be a pentology.
Pentology.
But what you're saying here, though.
Yeah.
If you kill her in the first act.
Uh-huh.
I like this. I like this a lot.
What they considered for Diamonds Are Forever originally.
In my brain, what the movie then becomes is Taken with James Bond.
The movie Taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I mean, James Bond on a revenge mission, we've seen little glimpses of it.
Yeah.
But we've never had a full-blown...
Well, License to Kill is sort of that way.
Hmm. Oh, that's true. He is going after... I don't know, though, because that one... He's doing a little too much... James Bond in that middle act,
yeah,
where he's trying to ingratiate himself, yeah, and like,
but I like that.
I want him just to be
brutally
angry man on
fire.
Let
me ask you this. Do you think Danny Boyle came to them as kind of like very familiar with the Daniel Craig timeline, saying like, I have an idea that responds to the prior movies, or he came to them and said, I have an idea for a Bond film. Let's just do this. And of course, Daniel Craig's our man. Do you think it's independent of those films, or do you think it really fits in? Yeah, I would imagine too. He's kind of got something.
Danny Boyle strikes me as someone who is painfully aware of the legacy.
So you do think it would respond to the prior movies?
No, I think he's just aware of like the overarching legacy of James Bond, the 24 movies that we've had, and sort of that thematic thing. And I don't. The whole build-out of the cinematic universe of James Bond and connecting every movie, I think, was the biggest mistake they've made storytelling-wise in the entire franchise.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't age well. It didn't bother me when I first saw it, but that and the brother thing is too much for one
movie. It's just... because you're just taking... You're sort of just taking everybody's problem with Skyfall... With I wanted to get cut.
All the
here's
aligning.
My plan.
Yeah,
you're just sort of taking that and like blowing it up.
Yeah.
into this now complete crazy arc. Like, because if Silva wanted to get cut and so on and so forth, we've talked about that ad nauseum. But like, if that was really the case, you have that train coming through. There's so many like. Wait, what? How did he figure that out? But you suspend disbelief for the movie. But like to then like say, well, actually, even that was a part of his stepbrother's plan to just keep needling his stepbrother.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
What is he doing?
I know.
Like, literally, at the end of that movie, you're just like, so you just have been jealous of the fact that your father enjoyed skiing with me.
Yeah.
So now what you did was, throughout my life, you have just been needling me.
It also really diminishes Silva's character, because his whole purpose in Skyfall was kind of an ideological, like, I need to get back at M kind of thing.
Yes.
But this implies, like... It was still Blofeld's idea, like, to go, I want you to go get revenge on M and stuff. And it doesn't feel right for Silva to be subservient to Blofeld. Like, he's too much of a rogue.
Or was it that Blofeld allowed it to happen?
You could justify it that way. But when you think of it again, like, those last two Craig films, when you think about them even, like, twice, they don't hold up structurally. Yeah. Which is interesting, too, because, like, these John Hodge films, they're... Some of them are sort of plot-based, like Shallow Grave, but they're better character pieces. Like, they're... Which I think is good, too. Like, the... Trainspotting, especially, it's adapted from the novel, but it's very different from the novel. So he's got his own chops. In fact, the novel isn't even that structured. It's just kind of, like, almost vignettes in many ways. But the film itself really has a linear... story, while at the same time it's all about the character. And I always think that in Daniel Craig's era, especially, the character stuff has really been the best. So I'm less concerned about the plot and more about, like, that's what where Skyfall really shines, is the dialogue and the character stuff.
Yeah.
And so maybe they'll just keep the plot really simple. It'd be nice to have a simple Bond movie again.
Well, I guess what I'm looking for more than a bottle episode of James Bond, I guess, is really just something simple. But you know,
you want a clip show where they sit on the couch and go, remember that time?
Hey, do you remember when I got married to Tracy Bond? And then he winks right at the camera. And
do you remember when I shot a shark bullet into this one fella?
You know, that was the fun thing of that GoldenEye video game, that GoldenEye 6, that not the 64 version, but when they remastered GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't called GoldenEye.
The Legends one?
Legends.
Yeah.
Because it threw Daniel Craig into all of those movies.
Oh, here he goes again.
Guys, it's patreon.com/JamesBonding, probably.
Anyway, we don't have any definitive answers. We're just sort of musing.
No, we're speculating.
On this episode.
That's what we're doing. We're sitting around, we're talking to our friends, you, the audience, and we're just sort of going like, well, What do you think?
And what are you speculating? What do you think is going to happen? Do you have any predictions? Do you have any inside information? Yeah.
Don't forget to give us a like and hit that subscribe button.
That's right. Any business we got to cover, the Knickknack Tabasco shirts are close to very being close. Ready. We've seen the final design. Ibrahim Mustafa knocked it out of the park.
I would like to bring up one thing regarding Mr. Daniel Craig. His Aston Martin is going up for auction. So if you'd like to buy Daniel Craig's Aston Martin DB11, then you have your chance. It's estimated to go between $400,000 and $600,000. I also find it odd, by the way, and I think, did you and I discuss this? That Daniel Craig, who occasionally seems to have problems with being James Bond, would drive around in an Aston Martin.
He did?
Yeah.
Do you think he really drove it?
Yeah, that was his car.
Wow.
Anyway, the Daily Mail is put a story out about his appearance at the BAFTAs. The BAFTAs, I just
BAFTAs,
said.
Wow. Very English.
Very un-BAFTA. New England-y of me. And the headline is, Double Over Tired, James Bond star Daniel Craig, 49, leaves fans baffled with shockingly waxy older appearance at the BAFTAs.
Is there a picture?
There sure is, my friend. He just looks like he's got a little water weight on him.
Yeah, but you know, he's entitled.
Quite
who
frankly.
Does he look like? I mean, it's like Steve McQueen and Spencer Tracy got together a little bit.
Well, quite frankly.
But
it's a great combo.
Also, he'll have no problem getting back in shape. And more so, I am not one to talk. I would still be happy to look like that.
Are you kidding me? I would die to look like that.
Yeah.
A lot's happening. We're very excited about it. There's going to be more and more news as time goes on. And you know where to come to get your news.
That's right.
Well, mostly follow Phil on Twitter.
Yeah, really. You do yourself a favor. I've also got something coming out that is Bond related. It's a piece of visual work. So watch my Instagram and Twitter places.
Matt's been working on something that is quite frankly beautiful.
Do you want to see the finish? Don't say anything.
I will look at the finish because, quite frankly, I'm here and they're not. Matt, that's fucking beautiful.
Thank you, my friend.
That is beautiful.
It combines two things that if you listen to this podcast, you know that I love.
Oh, my God. It's really terrific. It's fantastic. You're all going to be very excited about it. Proceeds for this print will go to me.
So that's it. This is a shorter episode, but a goodie.
Yeah. Listen, it's news. You got news. We got news. Follow Phil. Get real news.
Do you think next, in between episode, we can actually get to a movie? Is it time?
Yeah, I think it is.
We should start with Casino Royale 67.
You think so?
You don't think? I mean, that's the one.
Yeah, I suppose that's the
big
natural
Bond
course.
We haven't covered, and we'll get Maurice back here.
And that doesn't have to be done in the regular Bond other weeks, right?
Oh, like we could fit it in for.
I just feel like because it's a James Bond movie.
That's a good question.
Because it's the character James Bond. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm not picking that for my next movie.
No, no one is.
That's why
it'll be last.
I know. We'll talk about that. We'll figure it out.
All right. Guys, lots coming. Thank you so much. Please remember that James Bonding will return.
After these messages.
Well, no.
What?
With Octopussy.
Yes. Bonding Podcast.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.